Blog Talk Radio.
Goodbye. You're listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Cook, and I'm so blessed to welcome you to the Common Sense Files with your host and facilitator, Brother Rick Altman, for this Friday, March 10th, 2023. Now, thanks to God, a little over a year ago, I was blessed to come into relationship and fellowship with Brother Rick Altman and his beautiful wife, Sue, and I can honestly tell you that I love them instantly. Now, Brother Rick has been a very visible figure in politics, but he has a true love of God, country, and the betterment of all people. So when my brother blessed me with a copy of the Ten Commandments, Still the Best Moral Code, written by Dennis Prager, I wasn't surprised. In fact, I was so impressed by this big message that was conveyed between the covers of such a small but impactful book that I asked my brother to come on the air and share the book so that we can all take a closer look at it and the Ten Commandments together and what that means for us today, because My brother and I truly believe that the Ten Commandments is indeed still the best moral code, because the most important words ever written are the Ten Commandments. These words changed the world when they were first presented at Mount Sinai to the Israelites, and they are changing the world today. They are the foundation stones of Western civilization. Now, given their staggering importance, you would think that all societies, and certainly our educational and religious institutions, would be intent on studying them more closely. But sadly, that isn't the case. Our schools ignore them, and our churches and synagogues simply take them for granted. But here's a simple test. Who among us can even name all 10 of the Ten Commandments? And even among those who can name them, how many can explain them in a way that makes sense to the modern ear and eye? Well, thank you, Jesus, for Mr. Dennis Prager, because if you are a person of faith, this book will strengthen it. If you are an agnostic, it will force you to rethink your doubts. And if you're an atheist, oh, it's going to test your convictions. For people who have thought little about the Ten Commandments, or for those who think a lot about it and study it all the time, this book is going to be a revelation. So now, my brothers and sisters, I am blessed to introduce to some and present to others my brother, my friend, Mr. Rick Altman, as he presents to you Mr. Dennis Prager's book, The Ten Commandments, Still the Best Moral Code. Brother Altman, you have our undivided attention, sir.
Thank you, Bishop Shirlene. And it's the second phrase. Everybody's heard of the Ten Commandments, but still the best moral code that caught my eye. Because we all need a moral code, and you said it right. It's the foundation of Western civilization, which right now is a little shaky in its foundation, I would say, which all civilizations go through that. So I thank you for inviting me, and we're going to go through Dennis Prager's book here, and I just think it's fantastic. I'll start with the foreword. The history of the human race has not been morally impressive. Slavery was nearly universal. Women, when not enslaved, had few rights. And while progress has been made on both fronts, slavery has been largely extinguished, and in some societies, women are treated as equals of men. Murder, robbery, rape, and 100 other crimes, not to mention monstrous horrors such as genocide, continue to this day. Indeed, the 20th century was perhaps the bloodiest century in recorded history. Cruelty has been so widespread in history that it can also almost be considered a human norm. Clearly, human nature, while not evil, is not primarily predisposed to goodness, and it is certainly morally weak. When confronted with temptation to do what's wrong, temptation often overpowers conscience. It would seem obvious, then, that having people do the right thing ought to be the single most important question preoccupying every society and every religious and secular ideology. But it isn't. Societies are preoccupied with just about everything other than making people good. For some, it's intelligence. Parents are often more concerned with their children's IQ than their children's character. And many people confuse higher education with decency and moral insight. For others, the primary social concern is face. It has characterized many Asian and Arab societies, hence such things as honor killings. Or it might be physical beauty, as in ancient Greece, or building an empire, as in ancient Rome and in 19th century Europe. Or perhaps theology. People have too often valued proper religious beliefs more than proper moral behavior, and even slaughtered others for not having the right religious beliefs. This is a common occurrence even in our time. It might be nature. For such people, it is deemed better to stand rice that has been genetically modified to include vitamin A and allow a million East Asian children to go blind from the vitamin A deficiency than to tinker with nature, thereby potentially harming the environment. Likewise, those preoccupied with the natural environment deemed it preferable to ban the pesticide DDT, despite the fact that such a ban directly led to the death of millions of Africans to malaria. And, of course, innumerable individuals are preoccupied with wealth or power. To repeat, preoccupation with morality, how people treat other people, has been rare. There was an exception.
Come on.
The Ten Commandments are preoccupied with goodness. Each commandment is a moral tour de force. Together, they present the most compelling plan ever devised for a better life and good world. Yet, they were written and, in the eyes of hundreds of millions, revealed by the Creator 3,000 years ago. The Ten Commandments are what began humanity's long, arduous journey toward moral progress. With all our sophistication, and the remarkable fact is that the Ten Commandments are more or less all we need. That is what he endeavors to explain in this book. If you want to improve your life and make a better world, here's the blueprint. The understanding of human nature that you will find in the commandments is startling in its depth and sophistication. And more important, the Ten remain as germane today as they were to our ancient ancestors. If people live by these commandments, little else would be needed to make the world in which armies spent their time playing football. Police would rarely be needed. The doors to our homes could be left unlocked, and women could walk anywhere, any time of the day or night, without fear of being sexually assaulted. Political corruption would vanish. Courts of law would be trustworthy. Strained relationships between parents and adult children would be mollified. This Prager University book and the corresponding video courses are the culmination of 45 years of study and teaching. These projects, consisting of 11 parts and analysis of each commandment plus an introduction, represent a great deal of hard work. I cannot sufficiently thank the many people who made these unique products possible, the editors, the producers, the makeup, the lighting people, the artists, and most especially my wife, Susan Prager. I'm reading for Dennis now, who edited every text, and Alan Estrin, who also edited every text and supervised every phase of production. Prager University was his brainchild. I hope you enjoy this book and that it touches your life in a deep way. If so, please consider watching the video courses. And know that there are scores, soon hundreds of other video courses on almost every subject at www.prageruniversity.com. We release a new course weekly. We live in a world filled with evil and moral confusion. There is only one way out, affirmation of a God whose primary demand of us is that we treat our fellow human beings decently.
Yes.
Faith in any God who, yes, faith in any God who makes any other primary demand will ultimately fail to solve the problem of evil. And any moral system that is detached from God, no matter how noble and sincerely held, will likely fail, will likewise fail.
Yeah.
That's why the Ten Commandments are the most important thing ever written. They inextricably link God and goodness, making it clear beyond doubt that God himself is preoccupied with goodness. And if that is so, what else matters? Dennis Prager, January 2015. So, now, the introduction of the Ten Commandments, still the best moral code. No document in history so changed the world for the better as did the Ten Commandments. Western civilization, the civilization that developed universal rights, created women's equality, ended slavery, created parliamentary democracy, among other unique achievements, would not have developed without them. As you will see, when each of the Ten Commandments is explained, these commandments are as relevant today as when they were given over 3,000 years ago. In fact, they're so relevant that the Ten Commandments are all that is necessary to make a good world, a world free of tyranny and cruelty. Imagine for a moment a world in which there was no murder or theft. In such a world, there would be no need for armies or police or weapons. Men and women and children could walk anywhere, any time of the day or night, without fear of being killed or robbed. Imagine further a world in which no one coveted that, which, pardon me, imagine further a world in which no one coveted what belonged to their neighbor, a world in which children honored their mother and father, and the family unit thrived, a world in which people obeyed the injunction not to lie. The recipe for a good world is all there in those 10 sublime commandments. But there is a catch. The 10 commandments are predicated on the belief that they were given by an authority higher than any man, any king, or any government. That's why the sentence preceding the Ten Commandments asserts the following, quote, God spoke all these words, unquote. You see, if the Ten Commandments, as great as they are, were given by any human authority, then any person could say, who is this man Moses? Who is this king or queen? Who is this government to tell me how I should behave? Okay, so why is God indispensable to the Ten Commandments? Because to put it as directly as possible, if there isn't a God who declares murder wrong, murder isn't wrong. Yes, this strikes many people today as incomprehensible, even absurd. Many of you are thinking, is this guy saying you can't be a good person if you don't believe in God? Let me respond as clearly as possible. I am not saying that. Of course, there are good people who don't believe in God, just as there are bad people who do. And many of you are also thinking, I believe murder is wrong, so I don't need God to tell me. Well, that response is only half true. I have no doubt that if you're an atheist and you say you believe murder is wrong, you believe murder is wrong. But forgive me, you do need God to tell you. We all need God to tell us. You see, even if you figured out murder is wrong on your own without God and the Ten Commandments, how do you know it's wrong? Not believe it's wrong. I mean know it's wrong. The fact is that you can't. Because without God, right and wrong are just personal beliefs, personal opinions. I think shoplifting is okay. You don't. Unless there is a God, all morality is just opinion and belief. And virtually every atheist philosopher has acknowledged this. Another problem with the view that you don't need God to believe that murder is wrong is that a lot of people haven't shared your view, and you don't have to go back very far in history to prove this. 20th century, millions of people in communist societies and under Nazism were killed, about 100 million people, and that doesn't count a single soldier killed in war. So don't get too confident about people's ability to figure out right from wrong without a higher authority. It's all too easy to be swayed by a government or a demagogue or an ideology or to rationalize the wrong you are doing. It isn't really wrong. And even if you do figure it out what is right and wrong, God is still necessary. People who know the difference between right and wrong do the wrong thing all the time. You know why? Because they can. They can because they think no one is watching. But if you recognize that God is the source of moral law, you believe that he is always watching. So even if you're an atheist, you would want people to live by the moral laws of the Ten Commandments. And even an atheist has to admit that the more people who believe in God, who believe God gave them and therefore are not just opinion, the better the world would be. In 3,000 years, no one has ever come up with a better system than the God-based Ten Commandments for making the world better. And no one ever will. Pretty
Amen.
Good. Pretty
Amen.
Good introduction.
Yes.
All righty. Yes. We'll start with Commandment 1.
Yes.
I am the Lord your God. God wants us to be free. What is the first of the Ten Commandments? It might seem like an odd question, but it's not. Jews and Christians give different answers. The reason is that what we know as the Ten Commandments is, in the original Hebrew, the Ten Statements. And then there's Hebrew, which I won't try to pronounce. And since the Hebrew is the original, we begin with the first statement, which all religions agree, I am the Lord, your God, who took you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. This statement is so important that none of the other commandments make sense without it. First, it asserts that God is giving these commandments, not Moses or any other human being. Second, God is the one who delivered you from slavery. Again, no human being did this, not even Moses. Therefore, you have an obligation to me, God. And what is that obligation? That you live by the following 9 commandments. This is the beginning of what is known as ethical monotheism, the greatest world-changing innovation of the Hebrew Bible. It means 2 things. Ethical monotheism means that one God, that's monotheism, is the source of ethics and morality. Morality, an objective code of right and wrong, does not emanate from human opinion. It emanates from God, and therefore transcends human opinion. The other meaning of ethical monotheism is that God most wants from us is that we treat other human beings morally. None of the Ten Commandments concern what humans must do for God. Pre-Ten Commandment religions all believe that people must do a lot of things for their gods, for example, feed them, even sacrifice people to them. But now, thanks to the Ten Commandments, mankind learned that what God wants is that we be good to our fellow human beings. Even the commandments concerning not having false prophets and not carrying God's name in vain are ultimately about morality. The thing we can do for God is to treat all of his other children decently. Every parent can relate to this. Parents, or at least healthy parents, have an indescribable joy when they see their children act lovingly toward one another and indescribable pain when they see their children hurt one another. So too, God, who is likened to our Father in heaven, cares most about how we treat other human beings, all of whom are his children. The third critical teaching of the first statement, I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, is the importance and meaning of freedom. Note that God is not saying in this introduction to the Ten Commandments that he created the world. It surely would have made a lot of sense for God to introduce the Ten Commandments with the statement, I am the Lord your God who created the world. That is, after all, pretty impressive and would make sense. I created the world. You better listen to me. But no, the one thing God declares is that he took the children of Israel out of slavery and into freedom. That's how much God hates slavery and how important God considers freedom. The founders of America based their entire view of America on this belief that God wants us to be free. And that is why the most iconic symbol of the American Revolution, the Liberty Bell, has only one sentence inscribed on it, a verse from the Hebrew Bible, quote, proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants thereof, unquote. But there is one other equally important lesson about freedom imparted by the opening statement of the Ten Commandments, what freedom means. The giver of the Ten Commandments is, in effect, saying, I took you out of slavery and into freedom, and these Ten Commandments are the way to make a free society. You cannot be a free people if you do whatever you want. Freedom comes from moral self-control. There is no other way to achieve it. And fourth and finally, by telling us that he liberated the Hebrew slaves, God made clear that he cares deeply about human beings. It is impressive to create the world, but what now matters is not, only that there is a creator, but that the creator cares about his creation. All of that is in one statement in which the Ten Commandments begin. So, I had never heard it explained.
Well, my brother, now that you have read our first commandment, and you read a lot before that, as you and I have been talking, you have pulled out some really good points as we were reading this. So, if you would like, at this time, you can take some time to just pull out some of the points that, you know, the two things that you wanted to make sure that you got across. And then I will get some responses from our listeners. And also, I will be back with the rest of the story for the first commandment. So, Brother Rick, go ahead on and share with us some of your thoughts as you was reading that awesome forward introduction and first commandment.
Why do people act the way they can? Because they can. The way they do, because they can. And so we need to have rules of the road, as I've explained to younger people so often, that you have to think of life as like you're driving, which is part of life. But imagine if you were driving and there were no rules, there were no laws, there were no speed limits. If people didn't stop at four-way stops, if they ran red lights. You know, we're out there rolling around in two-ton rocks, traveling at a mile a minute at a closing speed of, 120 miles per hour. If we didn't stay on our own lanes, and some of these cars that you pass on the road, they're 3 or 4 feet away, you know, like the barricade on the side of the road. You have to keep within the lines. You have to follow the rules or else devastation will take place. Now, we've seen what happens when people do not follow the law. But this is why the law is so important. Now, does it inhibit your freedom a little bit? Yes, it does. But you know, if you want to live in the jungle on your own, you have the law of the jungle on your side. But if you're going to live in a society with a group of people, you have to follow the rules, because that is for the betterment of all the people around us. And I think that is what the Ten Commandments can also show. And it's something that I think Western civilization, we absolutely have to focus on at this point. The first half of the 20th century was the bloodiest in history. The second half of the 20th century was probably the best in history. The most abundant cures for diseases, inoculations against diseases, more food, more abundance, more everything. It was just terrific. But that can make people lazy, all right, and forget about the rules that they follow to get there. And so that's why I think, and that's why I focus so much on the Ten Commandments, was because it is the basis for law in Western civilization. Now, Western civilization is not perfect. No, it's not. And we can need to continue to work to make it better. But by following these laws, we can also work to make it better. And I think that's why it's so important that we focus on this. Now, the second thing is, yes, let's save Western civilization, which is teetering right now. The second thing is, for those parents that have wanted to introduce religion to their children, or perhaps tried and failed or don't know how to do it, remember something about kids. Kids want to know the rules. They want to know how to act. And maybe the way to introduce them, you know, to greater spirituality and to religion, maybe the way is to start with the rules and then lead to that. Maybe that's the way to do it. But in any case, the more we have people who follow these commandments, the better and safer the world will be, and the prosperity will continue. But if not, it's going to devolve into chaos and violence. And the unfortunate thing is, and one of our past presidents said, we're one generation away from, you know, losing it all. Two, three generations after the Second World War, you kind of forget how bad it can be if people do not follow the rules, if you don't respect one another. And so I think this is the way to re-inject this into our culture. And again, agreeing with Dennis Prager, it's the best moral code, and it's the best way to preserve our civilization, I believe.
All right. Thank you, my dear brother. We're going to get back and have more from Brother Rick. But I'm going to also fill in some blanks, because here at the Spirit Alive Network, this is the transformation station. So we just don't give you information. We tell you why, and we tell you how to apply it. And as you can see, as our brother has said, from the state of this world, from the state of this country, the Ten Commandments were very much needed, especially this first commandment, which is, "Thou shalt not have strange gods before me." You know why that's so important? Because the entire law of Jesus Christ depends upon love. And love depends on two precepts. One, we have to have love for God and love for his people, or love for our neighbor. Now, God, in delivering the law to Moses, gave 10 commandments, as my brother has said, and Brother Prager has pointed out again in his book. But they were written up on two stone tablets. Three of these commandments that were written on the first tablet referred to the love of God. And the seven commandments written on the other tablet related to the love of our neighbors. The whole law, therefore, is founded on these two precepts. The first commandment, which relates to the love of God, is, "Thou shalt not have strange gods." For an understanding of this commandment, you have to know why God wrote it inspired it to be written in the first place. See, back in the day, just like today, people were worshiping demons. The Word of God says all the gods of Gentiles are devils. This is the greatest and most detestable of all sin. Even now, there are many who transgress this commandment, all such as practice divination and fortune telling. Do we see people today calling Miss Cleo? And do we see people today playing their lucky numbers? God, in his ultimate wisdom, said he had to tell us that he would only tolerate us worshiping him because some people were worshiping heavenly bodies. They believed the stars were gods. They have imagined, the word of God says, they have imagined the sun and the moon to be the gods that rule the world. For this reason, Moses forbade the Jews to raise their eyes or adore the sun and moon and stars. He said, keep therefore your souls carefully, lest perhaps lifting up thy eyes to heaven, thou see the sun and moon and all the stars in heaven, and being deceived by error, thou adore and serve them, which the Lord thy God created for the service of all nations. The astrologers sin against the commandment in that they say that these bodies are the rulers of the soul, when in truth they were made for the use of man, whose sole ruler is God. And still others worship the lower element. They imagine the fire or the wind to be God. Word of God declares, into the air also fall those who wrongly use these things, the things of this earth, and love them too much. You see, are a covetous person who was a server of idols. And why did he have to tell these people this? Because they were erring. And God loves us so much, he doesn't want us to be separated from him. He wants to be in relationship with us. He wants to be in communication with us. He is our heavenly Father. The Ten Commandments are a part of our divine rules, our spiritual rules, which governs our morality, our ethics, our being, our character. But Sam, when you get to worshiping anything besides the one true God, you go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Just as man has always done. See, when we start governing from our carnal nature, we go astray. Word says, for a father being afflicted with a bitter grief made to himself the image of his son, who was quickly taken away. And him who then had died as a man, he began now to worship as a god, and appointed him rites and sacrifices among his servants. I don't care. I'm talking to all my young people. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care how many pictures of them you see plastered on billboards all over everything. They are not to be worshipped. They are not, because see, they cannot provide the things for you. They did not create you. And they cannot provide for you the way the one true heavenly Father provides.
Amen.
Some got to ruling because of flattery. Do we see that going on in the world today? The word says, thus being unable to worship certain men in their presence, they, bowing down, honored them in their absence by making statues of them, worshiping one for another, whom they had a mind to honor. They made an image that they might honor as present him that was absent. Of such also are those men who love and honor other men more than God. He that loveth his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He said, put your trust not in princes, in the children of man in whom there is no salvation. You see, Jesus is the only one that has the power to raise us, to save us, to heal us, to restore us, not man.
Amen.
And God wanted to remind people, don't let all that flattery cause you to turn from me. Don't let your flesh and your carnal nature cause you to turn from me. And don't go worshiping other things out of presumption, because the word goes on to say in Exodus, some because of their presumptuous made themselves be called God. Such, for an example, was Nebuchadnezzar. Thy heart is lifted up and thou hast said, I am God. Such are also those who believe more in their own pleasures than the precepts of God. Let me just tell you something. Anytime we try to govern out of our own pride, out of our own flattery, out of our own presumption, we're going to get it wrong. Because if we were to do it like that, what makes you more important than me? What makes your way better than mine? But when we turn it all over to that one true God, and we worship him, together. All of a sudden, there is a freedom. We're not bound by offenses. We're not bound by bitterness. We're not bound by depression. We're not bound by sickness. We're not bound by things that come upon mankind when we are oppressed, depressed, discouraged. You see, God had a reason for telling his children, keep your mind on me, keep your focus on me, keep your worship on me, so that you will be able to walk out, live out this moral code that I've written for you.
Yeah.
God had to tell us that he would have no other God before him, because as we look around today, my brothers and sisters, money seems to be more of a God than God. Lifestyles are being worshipped more than God.
Cars, houses.
People are making everything but God, things like these days.
Yeah.
But God says, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. I am the author and the finisher of your faith. I am God Almighty.
Yeah.
So this moral code that we live by is simply by honoring God. We're honoring ourselves. We're honoring one another. It establishes our mindset, you see. God is love. And when we are worshiping him with our life, with our thoughts, with our deeds, with our words, he is being glorified. We will think about our fellow man. I have enough to eat, but does my neighbor? You know, we will love one another, and we will look at each other for the content of our character and not the color of their skin.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We will be able to rejoice when we see our brothers and sisters being blessed and not want to kill them or steal from them. We must first recognize who God is and what he does, because nobody can do us like him. Nobody has God's dignity. You know, none of us can be reverenced like God. Come on now. We can't do it. God is incorruptible. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. God is omnipotent. God is sovereign. None of us down here can say that. None of us.
Amen.
None of us can provide for one another as God can. See, every good and perfect gift comes from him. Whether it be our children, our health, that good job, that beautiful voice, that ability to play basketball, whatever that gifting may be, it comes from God.
Yes.
And then we, out of our gratefulness for the bounty of God, should want to live for him, should want to please him, worship him, adore him, and not have any God before him.
Yes.
You must, before you can follow the rules, you need to know what the rules are.
Amen.
Why the rules were written.
Amen.
And how to apply them to your life.
Yes.
Because these rules, and we're going to go deeper because we want you to understand that everything that we do that has morals or ethics is coming from the Ten Commandments, those 10 simple rules. Now, the Pharisees now, okay, because they were a performing type per people, you know, they weren't necessarily, they had less faith and more, you know, and more works. You understand?
Yes.
That was their thing.
Doing themselves.
And the Lord said that, you know, there was 10, there was 10 commandments. They made up 900 billion rules because they couldn't keep 10. And that's essentially what Jesus told them when he stood before them on his, their turf and called them hypocrites and pipers.
Yeah.
You see, we are either going to get it together, or this world is going to, this civilization is going to fall apart. When we realize that we all, it offer all of that us that have faith in God, the Creator. We're serving one God. There's not going to be a Jewish section in heaven, a Baptist section in heaven, a Catholic section in heaven.
Amen.
Jesus is coming back for his church, for those who lived by his moral code, for those who obeyed his rules, for those who loved their neighbors as they loved themselves and they loved him. See, you can tell the kind of relationship and the kind of ethics and the kind of morals a person is going to have by the kind of relationship they have with God. And you can determine that by the kind of relationship that they have with people.
Amen.
If you see a people and they're disagreeable and they don't, they want to have things their way and they don't want to, you know, they just don't want to comply and, you know, no. No. They're not, they don't have, I'm not a betting woman. But I'm pretty sure they probably don't have a really good relationship with God because, see, having a relationship with God is all about submitting and listening and obeying and trusting.
Yeah.
And then living it out so somebody else can see it. We have to let other, we let people know what we believe by the way we live our lives. So if we're calling ourselves Christians, but yet we can murder each other's character. If we call ourselves Christians, but yet we will compete with one another and we want what our neighbors have and we will lie and bear false witness. What are we to do? I tell you what we better do. And that's better. We need to do better. I want to thank my dear brother, Rick. And Rick, you jump back in here anytime. And I'm going to, if anybody else would like to make a comment about what they have heard on tonight, I want to give all of you time. So I'm going to stop. I don't want to get into preaching or teaching too much. I want to just hear some of your thoughts. So if you would like to make a statement or you have a question or you want to make a comment or you just want to touch and agree, if you would press 1 on your keypad, then I will address you by your area code as the last 4 digits of your phone number. So if anybody would like to have a comment, if you have a question or a comment, or you just want to tell my brother how good he did because he really did a beautiful job, you know, encourage him. Everybody needs encouragement. So I know that Mother Mitchell is in the house. Mother Mitchell, would you like to have a word? She is the mother of the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience. And if Mother Mitchell, if you'd like to have a word, go ahead and do so at this time.
Thank you, Bishop. First of all, I'd like to thank Brother Rick Altman for being with us tonight. I'm always so thrilled because he brings such a presence to his presentations, and I love that. But what is something he said brought to mind? Something I heard one of our comedians. Now a lot of people didn't like him, and he wasn't always my favorite because he cursed a little too much for me, even when I was a young woman. And that was Richard Pryor. He said, he was talking to one of his friends, and he said, now this is him. I'm talking in his tense now. he mm-hmm. said, you know, I was a little high, you know, and we were talking about world events and everything. And some kid had went in and did all kinds of horrible things to this family. And his friend asked Richard, he said, Richard, why do you think he did that? And Richard kind of rocked around and everything, and he said, 'cause he could. And that's just what the world is doing now. And it lives by that rule instead of God's moral code, still the best moral code. It does what it does because it wants to, because it can. And, you know, that's not going to get us very far. It's not going to get us very far in God's eyes, and it's not going to get us very far in man's eyes, a lot of us, because we do believe in God's, the Ten Commandments is God's best and moral code. And it has been, will be, and always will be.
That's
so
right.
Thank you, Bishop, and thank you, Brother Altman. I love you dearly. Hope to hear from you again, and you will come back again.
He will, because he's going to do this whole, he's doing the entire book. Hallelujah.
Okay. Oh,
yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. When I go in, I go in. I don't even play. Okay, we have area code 831, last four digits 0939. God bless you. You are in the studio. Please state your name and make your comment or you stay or you ask your question. Amen.
And hello, Brother
Altman.
Hello, Rick.
Hello, my darling. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, dear. Say again, dear. There would seem to be some technical difficulties, but I think I corrected it.
Yeah.
Now, go ahead again. Go ahead, sweetheart, so we can make sure we heard you.
Oh, I said, hello, Bishop Shirlene. And
hi,
hello,
girl.
Rick. And I feel blessed and honored and very thankful that Rick has the boldness to bring this back front and center to us all for such a time
yes.
as this. We do all need to get back to the basics of our faith and
yes.
the foundation of our faith. And
yes.
this is like the cornerstone of our faith with respect to the rule of law according to the Word of God.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, sister.
So,
you said that.
Yes.
So I thank
yes.
you very much for blessing us with this book. I will be overjoyed to get my hands on a copy and read it as well.
Amen.
And join
it really
in,
is
yeah. in depth in the study. Yes.
Yes, yes, it really
yes.
is a good book, and I will be bringing some, we're going to use the book, and I will have also teachings. I've taught about the Ten Commandments a lot over the years, but we just want to, this is the common sense files, and what we're saying to people, Brother Rick and I are saying to people is, look, obeying God, that's just common sense.
Yes.
He knows what's best for us. Everything that he
yeah.
did, and he does, he does with us in mind.
Yeah.
So it just makes sense.
Yeah.
Because it worked.
Yeah.
As Mother Mitchell has said, as Sis has said, as Brother Richie said, what we're doing isn't working. You know, we can't turn on a television without seeing, you know, another mass shooting and, or, you know, another war, or another outbreak or another, you know, it's just one thing after another thing. Why? Because, see, time is winding down and the
yeah.
enemy trying to kill, steal, and destroy. You understand me?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he's doing. So when we don't, if those of us that know better and choose not to do better, you might as well say we're a turncoat. We might as well be traitors. Because, see, you can't proclaim and have a relationship with the Most High God while having an affair with the devil. It doesn't work.
That's right.
Can't do it.
That's right.
Amen. Cannot do it. You're going to serve one or you're going to serve the other, but you're not going to do both. So if we want to change this world, if we want to make this world a better place, if we want to come up a little higher together, because, you know, we can only win this together, people. Together we win. Together. So if we expect to live with God up in heaven, we better start learning how to get along down here. We better start loving one another down here. We better start loving, showing God that we love him down here by loving on each other and treating each other the way he has commanded us to treat each other. We're supposed to be patient and kind and loving, and we're supposed to be selfless and humble and walk in integrity and honesty. But they don't report much of that on the news today, now do they?
No, they don't.
So I just want, so again, to my wonderful brother, my friend, Brother Rick Altman, I just want to say thank you, dear brother, for joining us tonight, for reading. I just think he has such a wonderful radio voice. And he just brings out things with such compassion and conviction. So once again, I want to thank my dear brother. I want to thank everybody for listening. Does anybody else have any comments before we prepare to close for tonight? Because you have time. Hallelujah. We want to hear from everybody because this is the whole point. We want people to hear us touching and agreeing. We want people to understand we're not, somebody might think I'm the only one that feels this way. But see, they hear us speaking up, then they hear you speaking up, and pretty soon others might start stepping up. So there's power in our unity. When we observe the moral codes together that God has created, then the world will become a better place.
Yes,
hallelujah. Because nobody ever can hang out with God and remain the same. This has been Bishop Shalene Cook with my dear brother, Brother Rick Altman. This has been the Common Sense File. We have brought to you on tonight a study of the book. We have began our study on a book by Mr. Dennis Prager. It is entitled The Ten Commandments, Still the Best Moral Code. We encourage you to go out and get a copy of this book because this will be the topic of our Common Sense Files for a few more times that we will meet. So we just pray that you, hallelujah, would gladly, gratefully, humbly, and sincerely obey the best moral code, and God will always take care of you. So on behalf of myself, Brother Rick Altman, the Spirit and the servant leaders here at Spirit Alive, Deacon William Isabel, Mother Mitchell, I want to thank the Spirit Alive family for being in the house. I want to thank all my friends and family out in California, Lee and Terry, everybody that's listening. I want to thank all of you. And we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed weekend, that you acknowledge God in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you. From Brother Rick and I and the staff of the Common Sense Files and the Spirit Alive Network. Good night, everyone, and God bless you.
Good night.
Good night. I love you,
Rick.
You did great.
Love you.
I'm glad you think I did great.